أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أن اشكر لي ولوالديك. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أخبرني جبرائيل عن الله وعزتي وجلالي وارتفاع مكاني لو أن العاق لوالديه يعمل بعمل الأنبياء جميعا لم أقبلها منه. صلوات. The Holy Prophet is saying in this hadith that Jibreel has informed me on behalf of Allah that وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, I swear to my dignity and my majesty, وَارْتِفَاعِ مَكَانِي, and my high level and status, لَوْ أَنَّ الْعَاقَّ لِوَالِدَيْهِ, if the person who is disowned from his parents, يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ جَمِيعًا, performs the actions of all the prophets combined, لَمْ أَقْبَلْهَا مِنْهُ, I'm not going to accept it from him. So we learn in the light of this great hadith of our beloved prophet, although all of his ahadith are equally great, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain preferences and we must adjust our priorities according to the priority list of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to succeed. And we learn the fact that one of the most important things in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make sure that the children do not end up getting disowned, aq, from their parents. Actually, as a matter of fact, it is considered, according to what Allama Tabatabai rahmatullahi alayh in his tafsir al-Mizan, how he says it in his tafsir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran the issue of ihsan bil walidain, doing good and dutiful behavior towards the parents, right next to the mention of his Tawheed, the concept of the oneness of Allah. And Allama Tabatabai says that if there was an issue in the eyes of Allah which is more important than this, Allah would have definitely mentioned that next to the mention of his Tawheed. But since Allah did not mention any issue other than Ihsan bil Walidain, doing good and dutiful behavior towards the parents, this proves that this issue of Ihsan, good and dutiful behavior towards the parents, is the second most important issue in the eyes of Allah after Tawheed. So we find that the Holy Prophet has said, أَوَّلَ مَا كُتِبَ عَلَى اللَّوْحِ, the first thing that was written on the slate. So the Prophet is talking about information of the unseeable world. We, the sinners, cannot read or recite nothing from the divine slate. Isn't it right? That's beyond our limits. You're talking about the Alamul Tajarrud, Alamul Ghaib, where the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have access to the unseeable world 24/7, 365. That's not fair to say 24/7, 365, because they had access to that information before this world and the solar system was created. Isn't it right? Before nothing else was created, and they were the first one to be created, and they knew everything before the creation of anything. Right? That's their highness. So we find Prophet has a right. He is keeping tabs on every information. Isn't it right? Ilmu ma kan, knowledge of what that has been. Ilmu ma yakun, knowledge of what is currently present. Wa ilmu ma huwa kain ila yawmil qiyamah, and the knowledge of what is going to happen till the day of judgment. All those knowledges are with the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So didn't the Prophet say to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Kuntu ana wa Ali nuran bayna yaday Allah azza wa jal, bayna yaday Allah qabla an yakhluq Allah Adama bi 14 alf aam. Isn't it right? كنت أنا وأنت يا علي نورا بين يدي الله قبل أن يخلق الله آدم بأربعة عشر ألف عام. Me and you, Ali, we were a nur in front of Allah 14,000 years before Allah created Adam. So we are talking about those personalities. Isn't it right? That's how we say to our youth, when we have personalities like Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then there is no room for us not to cherish about, not to feel good, and not to follow and obey, not just feel good, but follow and obey such leaders and imams and mawlas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us. Isn't it right? Instead of compromising over our faith, selling our value system, isn't it right? And buttering up the taghuts and the zalimeen, we, as the believers in the walayat of 12 imams and the 14 masumeen alayhimus salam, we are the most blessed people on earth. We must feel proud that our youth, our children, must feel proud that they believe in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Just the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is something that our urufa say that obviously the ni'mats and blessings of Allah are uncountable. We all know that. But if somebody asks you which is the biggest blessing of Allah among all the countless of His blessings, the answer to the question is that the biggest blessing of Allah is the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And if we understand that and the implications of the walayat in our everyday life, we'll find our entire lifestyle will change forever. So these kinds of personalities that we're talking about. Now Prophet says that awwaluma, coming back to the hadith that I was talking, that Prophet said, awwaluma kutiba alallah, the first thing that was written on the slate. Allah al-Mahfuz is the divine slate, and al-Qalam, the divine pen, moved and it wrote things. Isn't it right? And whatever is going to happen forever has been written already by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing can be changed. Didn't the Prophet say to Abu Dharr, rahmatullahi alayhi, you know, a Prophet has said in his wasiyyat to Abu Dharr, قَدْ جَرَى الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Certainly the pen has moved about what is going to happen till the Day of Judgment. So all that is going to happen has already been written on the divine slate. Isn't it right? And our Urafa say, rightfully so, that قَدْ جَفَّ الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That the divine pen, the ink of the divine pen, has dried up after writing what is going to happen till the Day of Judgment. Certainly, our scholars and Urafa said the truth. So basically, what had to be written has already been written. Me and you are nobody to alter the divine qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? It's in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot alter what is written on the divine slate. So now Prophet says that awwalu ma kutiba ala Allah, the first thing that was written on the divine slate, on the slate, was an Allahu la ilaha illa ana. I am Allah. There is no Lord worthy of worshipping other than me. Man radiya anhu walidahu fa ana anhu radin. Wa man sakhita alayhi walidahu fa ana alayhi sakhit. Whomsoever's parents are pleased with him, I am pleased with him. And whomsoever's parents are angry upon him, I am angry upon him. That's the first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. That's the first thing written on the slate. So you can understand why Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi in Tafsir al-Mizan said what he said. Isn't it right? So that's the most important thing. So we find, even in the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech from the Holy Prophet, where he says that, you know, Allah says, swearing by his dignity, wa'izzati wa jalali, and his majesty, that law annal aqqa li walidayhi, if a person who is disowned from his parents performs the actions of the prophets combined. So we have 124,000 prophets of God, isn't it right? All of them are masumeen. All of them are great personalities. All of them are beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them performed best behaviors towards Allah, isn't it right? And worshipped Allah and obeyed Allah. All the good deeds of all the prophets combined together are, let's suppose for a moment, there is a person who performs all the good deeds of all the prophets combined, 124,000 of those, which includes our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most superior of all. Isn't it right? Al-Anbiya in Arabic, you know, this includes the word Al-Anbiya, includes all the prophets of God. So it includes our Holy Prophet, who is the most superior as well. So if somebody brings the actions and deeds, the good deeds performed by all the prophets combined, but he's missing out on one thing only. And that one thing is that he is aq and disowned from his parents. Now what's the status of this kind of child, son or daughter? Allah says, swearing by his dignity and majesty, that Allah says, "Lam aqbalha minhu." I'm not going to accept it from him. So you must understand, that's what I said in the beginning of my speech. We must adjust our priority list to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to that of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, in order to succeed if we are serious about our spirituality. Isn't it right? If we are not into this dunya and not, you know, drowned into the love affair of this material world and its temporary belongings. So we find that Alqama was a young boy, young man, is about to die in his final moments before the death, In our Islamic jurisprudence, we call the person who is on the deathbed, we call him Al-Muhtadir. And we have special rulings in the Shariat of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam about the Muhtadir. We call it Ahkam al-Muhtadir. Isn't it right? The person who is dying. Those of you, me and you, who are standing next to the Muhtadir person who is about to die, we are obliged to do certain things. We are supposed to, isn't it right, straighten his legs towards the Qibla. The wajib on us. It's not mustahab or recommended. You don't have a choice if you believe in Allah. You got to do it. You have to straighten his legs towards the Qibla. Well, we sleep anyways like that in Islam throughout our life. It's mustahab to sleep with your legs towards the Qibla. When we wake up and we sit, we will be facing towards the Qibla. So we straighten the legs and so forth, and we read Surah Yasin and the Surahs As-Saffat, and we remind him with the names of the 12 Imams, isn't it right? And the Kalima, most importantly, is the Kalima that we remind him over and over again, isn't it right? It's mustahab to remind him with the Kalima and the names of the Imams. So Prophet sent Salman and Salman and Ammar were there, and to remind Al-Qama about the Kalima. It's mustahab to remind the person. And Salman is constantly asking Al-Qama to repeat after him the Kalima. And this guy is not repeating. You know, as if his mouth is just zipped. There are people who are like this. Not everybody gets the tawfiq and opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to say even the Kalima in the final moments. Not everybody gets the tawfiq. It requires how did we behave throughout our life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Because in Ilm al-Irfan they say you get what you deserve. Right? Whatever we didn't get from Allah is not because of the fact, not because of the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is na'uzu billah a miser and bakhil, and he gave those blessings to others and while he's not ready to give it to you. No, Allah is not bakhil. We say subhanallah, which means we are glorifying Allah from all the attributes of makhluqeen, all the attributes of the creatures and all what the people associate with towards Allah, which, you know, belongs to the attributes of the creatures. So Allah is above and beyond those condemned evil attributes. So we say subhanallah, isn't it right? That's what it means. And all what the people associate as partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is not a miser. If I fail to get a blessing from Allah, I could not say the kalima in the final moments of my life. It's precisely, if that happens, it's precisely because of the fact that I didn't deserve it. The way I led my life was such that I don't deserve to get that kind of tawfiq from Allah, because you get what you deserve. Isn't it right? So not everybody gets the tawfiq from Allah to even say the kalima. Isn't it right? So we find that there are very, very simple questions asked in the grave. Alhamdulillah, the examination paper is already out. It's the rahmat of Allah. He has already told us which questions are going to be asked in the grave, you know, from every person. And we do the talqeen, reminding the dead person about the vital info that he's about to be asked by the angels as soon as you shut the grave, isn't it right? It's mustahab to read the talqeen, isn't it right? There's a rahmat of Allah that he has already told us the questions. But my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafullahullah in his tafsir was saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have asked the most complex of the questions from the dead. But this is the mercy of Allah. He is not asking any of the complex questions. He could have asked from the dead people in Barzakh, okay, let us know about Qadiyatul Mi'raj. Mi'raj is a very complex discussion among mutakallimeen, the ulama of kalam. Ilmul kalam, we call it the knowledge of Islamic belief system, is called Ilmul kalam in Arabic. And the scholars of the Usuluddin, the knowledge of the Islamic belief system, are called mutakallimeen. It's a huge discussion among mutakallimeen about Mi'raj. How did it happen? Qadha and Qadr of Allah, for example. They are very, very complex discussions in Islamic belief system. But Allah is not asking about none of the complex questions. Instead, my teacher says, Allah is asking the simplest of the questions. Isn't it surprising and shocking that despite the fact the question paper is already out, the questions are the simplest of all. Who is your God? What's your Qibla? What's the name of your book? Isn't it? Who is your Prophet? Who are your Imams? Simplest of the questions. Our moms used to remind this information to us, you know, every time we used to go to bed. Isn't it right? There's nothing outrageous. But despite the fact that these are simplest questions, we find so many people are unable to even reply to the simplest of the questions. Because of the fact that we fail to practice the implications of that belief in our life. Because we fail to practice, we don't deserve it. We didn't earn the tawfiq to say the kalima because we misbehaved towards the walayat of the 12 Imams. Isn't it right? So now we don't deserve to even say the kalima. So we find that Salman is constantly asking Alqama to repeat the kalima. Alqama is, you know, his tongue is kind of like tied up. How we say in Ilmul Akhlaq, the science of Islamic morality, Mu'taqalul Lisan. This category of people are called in Islamic, the science of Islamic morality, as Mu'taqalul Lisan. Some people get tied up, their tongue as if it is tied up, so they can't say a word at the time of death. So this is called I'tiqalul Lisan, derived from the Arabic word of Aql. Aql in Arabic means, you know, aql is called the aql because it ties up your desires. If you allow your desires to drag you, then you are not aql. You know, Islamically speaking, you're not called intellectual in the Islamic definition of the word. Well, there may be so many people out there who are self-proclaimed intellectuals and self-proclaimed open-minded people doing what they're doing and saying what they're saying in the name of Islam without studying in any Islamic Hausa system. But who cares? We are talking about the Islamic definition of the word intellectual. So Salman is asking, but Alqama could not reply back. Finally, they sent a message to the Holy Prophet, and Prophet inquired about, was he tarik al-salat? I mean, did he quit the prayers? And they told Ya Rasulullah, no, he used to pray. Was he tarik al-zakat? Well, zakat is in lots of ahadith is used in the literal meaning of the word. That includes all the texts of Islam. So did he block the texts of Islam, stop paying the texts of Islam, in other words? And they said, no, Ya Rasulullah, he used to pay the texts. You know, qums and fitra and zakat, whatever is applicable. So Prophet said, is he aq? In other words, so is he disowned from the parents? And that they said, yes, he got a mother who is upset from him. So Prophet said, because of the anger, which I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words, the anger of the mother is the reason that has caused his tongue to get tied up. Now Prophet sent the message, sent Bilal to bring his mother, and if he couldn't show up, then I will come myself. I'll go myself to her. She said, may my life be sacrificed on the Holy Prophet. I would come to myself to see the Holy Prophet. She came. Prophet was interceding, doing shafa'at, isn't it right? Asking her to agree, to give her consent, to be pleased. And she refused. She refused because obviously she was heartbroken from the behavior of this kind of son. So Prophet said that bring the fire so I can burn him. The mother replied, no, Ya Rasulullah, not to that extent. You know, obviously I carried him in my womb for 9 months. Isn't it right? How would a mother tolerate a son getting burned in front of her eyes? Prophet said, in other words, this is what is going to happen after a short while when he dies without saying the kalima, because you are upset with her, in other words, this is what is going to happen. He's about to be burnt. So she said to Rasulullah that I announce in front of you that I'm radhi and pleased with him. Now, Bilal went back, and obviously when he reaches close to the house of Alqama, he hears the voice of him reciting the kalima, reaching outside. Please say salawat. So this is the impact of the kalima. This is the impact of becoming ark and disowned. And our scholars, our mujtahideen, say that your father and mother don't need to announce in front of the son or daughter, "Hey, my son, now onwards I make you ark." They don't need to say that. The moment we disobey, the moment we scream, the moment we yell on them, the moment we disobey them, obviously if they're asking something which is against the hukum of Allah, they have no obedience. Isn't it right? So Imam Ali alayhi salam has already said in Nahj al-Balagha, "La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyat al-Khaliq." There's no obedience of a creature in the, you know, disobedience and sin of the Creator, towards the Creator. So obviously we don't sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't disobey Allah. So we need to obey the parents and not to yell, not to shout, not to be disobedient towards them in all the things which are not haram and against the hukum of Allah. So we find Prophet stood, came close to the qabr and grave of Alqama after he got buried. And that's where Rasulullah said his famous hadith that Al-Jannatu Tahta Aqdamil Ummahat. That the paradise is under the feet of the mothers. This beautiful hadith of the Prophet was said at the qabr of Alqama. So we must understand, brothers and sisters, that obedience towards the parents. Tonight we are holding a majlis of Isale Sawab for a father. Isn't that right? He was a father. And it's one of the best occasions to talk about these teachings. The teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, it's always best to talk about throughout the year. Isn't it right? The teachings of Noor. That's why we come to the Majlis, to learn the Noor of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and increase in our Nooraniyat so we can be perfected and we move forward spiritually towards our Takamul and get Taqarrub and closeness towards the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So Prophet has said, "Salasu da'awatin mustajabatun la shakka fihinna." It's very important that our brothers and sisters keep this in their minds, that obeying our parents is what our scholars say, yuwallidu tawfiq. It generates the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your father and mother are pleased with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide tawfiqul khair. He is going to provide the opportunities of performing goodness and khair. That's another very beautiful subject of Islam. If we can talk about what is considered to be quote-unquote khair in the eyes of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. What is khair? What do they consider to be khair and goodness? A very beautiful discussion of Islam. But that's not the subject of my speech tonight. So Prophet says in his hadith, "Salasu da'awatin mustajabatun la shakka fihinna." Three du'as are accepted, there's no doubt about them. Da'watul mazloom. Du'a of a mazloom person, an oppressed. Some of the narrations say, لِأَنَّهُ يَطْلُبُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّهُ. The reason why the du'a of a mazloom person is accepted by Allah, because he is asking his right from Allah. Allah is above that, not to give the right to a person who deserves it, in other words. Isn't it right? So du'a of a mazloom is always accepted. And da'watul musafir, du'a of a traveler. If you are musafir, Allah accepts your du'a. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much He is holding, you know, His high mercy towards the believers, because when we are traveling, our scholars say a person who is traveling is far away. He is gharibul watan. He is far away from his family, his hometown. Isn't it right? So it makes a lot of sense. So the third that Prophet mentions, is the dua of the walid ala waladihi. That means baddua of the father, the curse of the father against the son. So the curse of the father against the son is always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a difference between the psychology of a mother. Our scholars say, our mujtahideen have mentioned 16 differences between a man and a woman. And all the teachings of Islam, which are based on, not the equality. We don't have no equality in Islam. Just FYI, in Islam, we have something which is superior to equality. And that is called justice. So, Islamic laws are based on something called justice of God, which is way superior than equality. Then, right? Equality dictates you treat everyone equally, regardless of whether or not they deserve or not. Then, right? You have 50 students in your class, you give equal marks to all of them. Whether every student deserves it or not, that's called equality. But that's not justice. Justice dictates you give to each student what he or she deserves to get. Isn't it right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. That's part of our Rasuluddin. Isn't it right? And we believe in justice, and we are proud to be the ones who believe in justice of God. So we find that all the teachings of our scholars say that are differing between the two genders are based on the divine wisdom, and we have those differences which are documented by the scholars between the two genders. And ihtimalan, because of those differences, it makes a lot of sense to find those teachings are different for the two genders. So we find that a mother may end up saying baddua towards the child quicker than the father, because he has more awatif and emotions. Lots of them have. Isn't it right? And then she gets pleased also quicker than the father. Whereas the father doesn't end up saying baddua against the son or the daughter as quick as the mother does, and doesn't become radhi and pleased either as quick as the mother does. So the baddua of the father is always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning of my majlis, Anishkur li wali walidayka, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, thank me and your parents. Thank me and your parents. And our scholars have said in tafsir, shukr of Allah is mentioned right next to the shukr of the parents. Being grateful towards Allah is mentioned right next to being grateful towards the parents in the Holy Quran. And our scholars say in the tafsir that the reason why, ihtimalan, the reason why the shukr of being grateful towards the parents is mentioned right next to being grateful towards Allah is that Allah is not going to accept your gratefulness towards Him unless and until you are grateful towards your parents. So one is not accepted without the other. This is what our scholars say in tafsir, why Allah is mentioning these two things together with each other. If you want your shukr towards Allah, because that's what some people say, no, I do a lot of charity work, I do so much nice things, I pray, I fast. Isn't it right? You think all these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked you are going to alter Allah's principles and sunnats? There's a book written by Imam Baqir al-Sadr, rahmatullahi alayh. And he says in his book, As-Sunan al-Ilahiyya fi al-Tariq, which is something that we all should basically study, that book where he talks about the sunnats of Allah, isn't it right? So we must understand the sunnats and formulas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down, and He's running the universe with that, those formulas. And you never find a change in Allah's formulas. So we find that one is not accepted without the other. Shukr of Allah. Didn't the Prophet say, Man lam yashkur al-makhluq lam yashkur al-khaliq. Somebody who didn't thank the creature didn't thank the creator. So if you want your gratefulness and shukr towards Allah be accepted in His eyes, you have to be grateful towards your parents as well. That's how Allah accepted. These two things are mentioned next to each other in the ayat of Quran. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our scholars say, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasula wa ulil amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger and the ulil amr among you, which are the 12 imams, please say salawat. That's what our scholars have said in that ayat as well, in the tafsir of the ayat, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the issue of ita'at and obedience of the Holy Prophet, right next to mentioning his obedience towards him, that means, our scholars say in the tafsir, that no matter how much you obey Allah, if you don't obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your obedience towards Allah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah has mentioned these two things next to each other in the ayat of Quran. And that's what our scholars say in tafsir. If you want your obedience towards Rasulullah be accepted in Allah's eyes, then you have no other option except that you obey the 12 imams and their imamat and walayat. Because Allah has mentioned the issue of obeying the 12 imams right next to the issue of obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one is not accepted without the other. This is the reason why these things are mentioned next to each other. And when we talk about 12 imams, isn't it right? So basically it includes all the 12. So and if somebody accepts some of the imams and rejects the rest, this is not accepted either, isn't it right? Didn't Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam say in his own Tawqiyah Mubarak, in his own hadith, Al-munkiru li-akhirina kal-munkiru li-awwalina. Somebody who denies the last one amongst us is like the person who denies the first one amongst us. So if somebody denies some of the imams, or even somebody who denies, you know, even few, one of the imams of the Ahlul Bayt is just like the person who denied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this happened in the history over and over again. Ali ibn Hamza an-Nitahi. Ali ibn Hamza an-Nitahi was the wakil of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam. And he had lots and lots of money of Baytul Mal, the Islamic treasury, on behalf of the Imam because he was the wakil and agent. Some people love dunya, isn't it right? Their life is dictated by money, and monetary interests dictate their life. Isn't it right? So after Imam, he was the wakil of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. After Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam died, he became shaheed, and Imam Ridha alayhi salam is now the Imam. Ali ibn Hamza an-Nitahi. See, the Islamic ruling hukm-e fiqhi says when the person who makes you wakil, he passes away, your wakalat becomes batil. Now you have got to give the khums money or the Islamic treasury money to the upcoming Imam. And today, in today's terms, obviously the same rule applies for our mujtahideen. If you're the mujtahid that you follow passes away and gave you the wakalat of khums, the ruling of the sharia says if the mujtahid passes away, your wakalat becomes batil automatically. Now you got to give the khums that you have to the upcoming jami'u shara'it conditions fulfilling mujtahid. You cannot keep the money. But Ali ibn Hamza is not ready to give away the thousands and thousands that he has to Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Instead, the best way he thought to keep the money is to deny the imamat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So what you are seeing today is nothing new. History is repeating itself. Isn't it right? There's so many people who are supporting the taghuts. Isn't it right? Please say a loud salawat for Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani. Allah. 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 Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Isn't it right? Up till this date. Up till this date, he did not agree to even talk to any zalim. Even over the phone. Even for the sake of 1 minute. And you find so many people are buttering up the zalimeen. So this is your policy. It's nothing to do with the marji'iyat or the Islamic leadership. This is your policy. We respect them. We don't respect you. That's your policy. Isn't it right? There's a huge 180 degrees contrast between the policies of some and the policies of the marji'iyat. We say our salam to the marji'iyat. They are our great personalities. But we don't respect these people. Isn't it right? These people who are compromising over their values for the sake of zulm and dunya, love of dunya. So we find that the simplest possible definition of a mu'min that I can define to my youth and my elders is a mu'min is a person who believes in the walayat of 12 imams alayhi salam and did not support a taghut in his life. I cannot define mu'min in a simpler than that. Because if a person lives in the times of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he supports Muawiyah, and then he claims, I love Mawla Amirul Mu'mineen, we are not going to buy. Isn't it right? It doesn't add up. It simply doesn't add up. When you support the Taghut, your claim will be called a lip service claim. If you really loved Imam Ali alayhi salam, his love cannot combine by supporting a Taghut. That's not a rocket science. If you're living in time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and you send your son in the army of Ibn Ziyad, la'natullahi alayh, lots of people of Kufa did send their children into the army of Taghut, isn't it right? And then you claim, Mawla, I love you. Isn't it right? Yes, and lots of people have been doing in the past and the present. If you're living in time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and you send your son and you support and you sympathize with Mansur al-Dawaniqi, La'anatullah alayhi, who later poisons the Imam. Isn't it right? This is not going to combine with your claim that I love Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Who's going to buy? Not even a child is going to buy your argument. Isn't it right? But that's what some people are trying to, you know, satisfy their nafs and say, no, we are mu'min too. You cannot reinvent the wheel. We are not Yahud and Nasara. Alhamdulillah, we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt. We don't change the teachings of Quran. Isn't it right? We don't do the tahrif. The reason why the Ummah of Rasulullah is the most superior of all the nations, because we do the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin nas ta'muruna bil Ma'ruf wa tanhauna anil Munkar. Isn't it right? We are not Yahud and Nasara to change the books for the sake of the elite, upper, rich, influential class of the society. Alhamdulillah, we are not kafir to do that. Alhamdulillah, we are mu'mins. Isn't it right? So who cares what the people say? Main ek majlis padh ke utra to ek sahab kehne lage, Maulana, aapki majlis mein maza nahi aaya. Maine kaha, main aapke maze ki khatir majlis padhta kab hoon? I'm not a religious entertainer. This is not a religious entertainment either. I recite the majlis for the sake of the rida and pleasure of Hazrat Fatimatul Zahra salam Allah alayha. لوگ کہاں سے آگئے بیچ میں تو بندے اور اللہ کی عبادت ہو رہی ہے ذکر امام مظلوم افضل ترین عبادات میں سے ہے اللہ کی عبادت ہو رہی ہے لوگ کہاں سے آگئے بیچ میں کہ لوگ کیا کہیں گے لوگ کہاں سے آگئے بیچ میں یہ تو اللہ کی عبادت ہو رہی ہے isn't it right لوگ کیا کہیں گے so we find that some people have their concepts upside down and that's why the whole religion is upside down. So we find that the simplest definition, brothers and sisters, for a mu'min person is that a person who believes in the walayat of the 12 imams, alayhimu salam, and did not support any taghut in his life. Isn't it right? So if you happen to live in the time of Imam Rida alayhi salam and you support Mamun al-Rashid, la'anatullah alayhi, and then you claim, no, I love the Imam Rida alayhi salam, he's my mawla. Who's going to accept that? And why are you supporting the Mamun Rashid who is later poisoning the same Imam? If you happen to live in the time of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, Isn't it right? And you support Mutawakkil al-Abbasi, la'anatullah alayhi, who used to cut the hands of the Zaireen of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Anyone who used to go to the ziyarat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn in Karbala, Mutawakkil al-Abbasi used to cut the hand. And this lady went for the ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam for the second year. And the soldier of Mutawakkil said, "Extend your right hand so I can cut it." And she extended her left hand to the soldier of Mutawakkil. And the soldier yelled on her, "Didn't you hear what I say? I asked you to extend your right hand so I can cut it." She said, "I don't have a right hand. You people already cut my right hand last year when I came for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. I only have a left hand remaining." So don't talk about how much prayers and fastings you are doing. We are not there yet. This part of Furu Deen. Please don't talk about, "Oh no, no, I am Papa Namaz Isha, fasting, Had, Khum." These are all Furu Deen. We are not there yet. We are talking about Imamat and Walayat right now, which is part of Usul Deen. First things first. The first question we need to ask to ourselves as believers, before you even think of mentioning your prayers and fastings, is which Wali do you follow? Do you follow Imam Rida alayhi salam? You follow Imam Askari alayhi salam? Or you follow Mutawakkil to be your wali and ruler and hakim? That's the question number one we need to ask. First things first. Let's go by the principles. Isn't it right? If you happen to live in the time of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Are you supporting the Tahuts and Zalimeen of today? Or you are supporting the policy of Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah protect him? What are you doing? Right? His policy is crystal clear. He didn't even agree to talk to any Zalim over the phone. So that would be your policy if you start doing, otherwise. That's your policy. That's not the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. Islam is of Ahlul Bayt is what we learned from our great Maraji and Islamic leadership. Isn't it right? So we find that Ali ibn Hamza al-Nitahi denies the walayat of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And now what happened is that Imam Rida alayhi salam said in his hadith that right now Ali ibn Hamza passed away and he was buried. After being passed away, he was buried right now. In other words, and the angels asked him those questions one by one, all those questions. Starting from who is God and all that, and finally about the Imams, and he replied the question about Imam Ali, he replied the question about Imam Hassan, and so on and so forth, until they asked about Imam Al-Qasim alayhi salam, and he replied. And after that, the angel asked them, "Who is the Imam after him?" And he could not reply. I already told you the reason why we are unable to say what we need to say is because of our own behaviors. We ask for it, we deserve it. Isn't it right? Because he didn't believe in the walayat, so he deserves to be treated like that. Angels repeated a few times, he couldn't reply, and then they hit him with the maqma of the hellfire, and his grave will be full of the fire till the day of judgment. So we find that in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the walayat and obedience of the 12 Imams next to the obedience of Rasulullah. So don't say, "I follow the Holy Prophet," unless and until you have followed the 12 Imams of Ahlul Bayt and their imamat and walayat, even your obedience towards Rasulullah is unaccepted. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our scholars say, has mentioned, "Aqimu salata wa atu zakata." Isn't it right? Iqamatul Salat, installing the prayers, establishing of the prayers, and giving away the tax is mentioned right next to each other. And the tafsir of a scholar say that one is not accepted without the other. That's the reason why Allah is mentioning those two things together. This is one of the reasons, ihtimalan. So our scholars say, if you pray, your prayers are held under the arsh of Allah and not presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the angels unless and until the time of your khums arrives and you pay away the tax of your money, and your taxes will then be coupled with the prayers and then presented together, because Allah has mentioned the prayers and the tax next to each other in the Holy Quran. Isn't it right? So we cannot reinvent the wheel. That's the way the religion of Ahlul Bayt is. Isn't it right? It's not left up to, like I always say in my speeches, teachings of Ahlul Bayt are not left up to the mercy of people liking it or disliking it, accepting it, believing in it, or disbelieving in it. Let's suppose the whole world disbelieves in it. Teachings of Ahlul Bayt are not going to change. They're like a mark on the stone. Whatever Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said is the final word that no power on earth can alter. This is what we believe, alhamdulillah. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a beautiful and articulate set of teachings and value system to follow in our religion. Isn't it right? Look at the huquq and look at the adab and etiquettes Islam has taught us. Consider everyone who is of your age to be your brother. And everyone who is elder than you, consider him as your father. Respect him like a father. Those who are younger than you, consider them as your own children. Isn't it right? Respect the ulama and scholars who have taqwa. Respect your neighbors. Didn't the Prophet say, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyukrim jarahu." Whoever believes in Allah and the final day must respect his neighbor. Respecting our neighbors. Neighbors may have 3 rights on you in the Islamic morality. Neighbors may have 2 rights on your neck, and neighbors may have only 1 right on your neck. If a neighbor is your relative, plus he is a mu'min, plus he is your neighbor, he has 3 rights. If he is not your relative, but he is a mu'min and your neighbor, he has 2 rights. If he's not a mu'min, nor is he, your relative, but still he's a neighbor, still has a respect. We need to be very particular about how we behave towards the neighbors. So we find that this person, there was 2 neighbors, their kids were playing together. There was a rich neighbor and a poor neighbor living next to each other. The child of the rich neighbor walked into the house of the poor neighbor. Then poor neighbors were eating food, very simple one, and the child of the rich neighbor walked in. He also asked for food. He's a kid. They refused to give him. The child started to cry, went back to his home. His father came and said, "Why is that so, that you people are causing pain for us? You are eating yourself, but you are not even ready to give something to my kid." Obviously, that's part of Islamic teachings. We need to take care of that. Islam says if you are giving an apple to your son and there's another child standing next to your son, either you give an apple to him as well, or don't give it to your son either. This is what Islamic teachings say. So this poor guy said, "Yeah, the reason why I didn't give food to your son is that the food we were consuming was halal for us, but it was haram for your son." What are you talking about? We don't have that kind of teachings in Islam, that the one food is halal for you and the same food is haram for us. He said, "No, that's exactly what Islam says. Because what we were eating was a dead animal, murdar, maita. Because we don't have food to eat, we are hungry. Since so much time, so when you have nothing else to eat, it becomes halal in that case to eat that. But obviously we cannot provide that sort of food to your son because you have abundant money." This is a shame on the rich neighbor who's living next door to this poor person, but he's not taking care of the rights of the neighbors in Islam. Isn't it right? A neighbor cannot sleep in Islam, with his stomach full as long as the next door neighbor is hungry. This rich guy was a pious person. He distributed his entire wealth into half. And after a while, when he died and somebody saw him in the dream, he said, "That action that I did towards the poor person was the thing that saved me in the grave." Please say salawat. This is the Islamic moral teachings. Prophet was there and this blind guy enters into the house, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, and Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha hides herself inside, and Prophet says to her, "Lema hajabti Why did you hide yourself when he cannot see you? وَهُوَ لَا يَرَاكِ He cannot see you. And she replies back to the Holy Prophet, إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ يَرَانِي فَإِنِّي أَرَاهُ وَهُوَ يَشُمُّ الرِّيحِ If he cannot see me, I can see him. And he can smell the reeh, you know, the good smell. There was a very beautiful smell that used to come out of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam, the smell of Jannat and Paradise. This is the highness. Rasulullah, according to the riwayat, said, Ashhadu annaki bad'atun minni. I bear witness that you are a part of me. This is the azamat of this household. And the same household, brothers and sisters, is subjected to this behavior in Karbala. The daughter of the same Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, Hazrat Zainab al-Kubra, the daughter of Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen, and the ladies of Ahl Haram are now made as captives. Ayatullah Sheikh Jafar Shustari has mentioned that Imam Mazloom Sayyid al-Shuhada kai martaba apne muh ke bal zameen e Karbala pe gire. Mere maula aakhri lamhat mein kai martaba apne muh ke bal zameen e Karbala pe gire hain kyunki baar baar sal utha ke ashqiya ki taraf dekhte the ke ahle haram pe kahin wo hamla na karne paaye maula ki ghairat ye gawara nahi karti thi ke maula ki zindagi mein ahle haram pe hamla ho unhone aapne farmaya tha shimre lain se ya shi'ata ale abi sufyan un logon se ye farmaya tha ke ae abu sufyan ke pairokaro in lam yakun lakum deen اگر تمہارا کوئی دین نہیں ہے وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ اور تم روز قیامت سے آخرت سے نہیں ڈرتے ہو فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ کم از کم تو تم آزاد مرد بنو اُقَاتِلُكُمْ وَتُقَاتِلُونِ میں تمہارے ساتھ قتال کر رہا ہوں تم میرے ساتھ لڑ رہے ہو فَإِنَّ النِّسَاءَ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهُنَّ جُنَاحٌ خواتین کا کچھ قصور نہیں مگر میں ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ جیسے ہی میرے مولا کی شہادت ہوتی ہے تو اب اشقیا نے حملہ کرنا شروع کیا خیام اہل حرم پہ آگ لگا دی بیبیاں ایک خیمہ سے دوسرے خیمے دوسرے سے تیسرے خیمے بیبیاں دوڑی جا رہی ہیں اپنے حجاب کی حفاظت میں عزادارو اور وہ وقت بھی آیا کہ جب یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ کربلا سے روانہ ہو رہا ہے اور کوفے کے اندر وارد ہو رہا ہے بیبیوں کو اسیر کر لیا گیا بے مکناو چادر علی و فاطمہ کی بیٹیاں بے مکناو چادر بازار کوفہ میں لائی جا رہی ہے اور منادی ندا موجود ہے اب پوچھنے والی خاتون نے پوچھا کہ من ایل اسارا انتن تم لوگ کس گھرانے کی قیدیاں قیدی ہو تو جواب دیا نحنو اسارا آل محمد ہم آل محمد کے قیدی ہیں Yeah. کیا کیفیت ہے عزادارو کیا کیفیت ہے اس خائن امت کی جس نے اہل بیت کے ساتھ یہ رویہ برتا چنانچہ روایت میں ہے کہ جناب ام کلثوم نے جب یہ دیکھا کہ کوفے کے لوگ رو رہے ہیں گریا کرنا شروع کیا تو آپ نے فرمایا کہ تقتلنا رجالکم وتبکی علینا نساؤکم تمہارے مرد ہمیں قتل کریں اور تمہاری عورتیں ہم پہ گریا کریں کتنے شرم کا مقام ہے یعنی کتنے شرم کی بات تم ہی لوگوں نے تو ہمیں قتل کیا ہے بالفاظ دیگر یہاں میرے مولا امام سجاد نے فرمایا آپ فرماتے ہیں اتنوحون وتبکون من اجلنا کیا تم نوحہ و بکا ہماری خاطر کر رہے ہو فمنزل الذی قتلنا تو پھر ہمیں قتل کس نے کیا ہے یعنی بالفاظ دیگر تم ہی لوگوں نے تو ہمیں قتل کیا ہے یہ کیفیت ہے اور اب کوفے کے لوگوں نے کھجورے صدقے کی بانٹنا شروع کی اہل بیت کے بچوں میں رحم کھا کے صدقے کی کھجوریں بانٹنا شروع کی جناب ام کلثوم نے کھجور لے لی بچے کے ہاتھ سے ان صدقتا علینا محرمتن صدقہ ہم پر حرام ہے چنانچہ ام حبیبہ آگے بڑھتی ہیں آپ کو معلوم ہوگا نا یاد ہوگا نا ام حبیبہ کنیز ہوا کرتی تھی میرے مولا امام حسین کے گھر میں کنیز ہوا کرتی تھی ام حبیبہ کوفے کی اب باشندہ ہے آگے بڑھتی ہے پہچانی تو نہیں جو شہزادی زینب کو
पहचान नहीं पाई। जो अब आगे बढ़ती है और आके कहती है शहजादी ज़ैनब से कि जो खजूरें मैंने दी हैं वो सदक़े की नहीं है बल्कि ये खजूरें तो नज़र की हैं। शहजादी ने पूछा कि तुम्हारी क्या नज़र थी? उम्मे हबीबा जवाब देती है, मेरी नज़र ये थी कि खुदा मुझे तौफीक दे, ये मेरे नसीब में करे कि मैं अपने मौला आका हुसैन और अपनी शहजादी ज़ैनब की ज़ियारत को मदीने जाऊँ। अरे बीबी ने कहा अब जाने की जरूरत नहीं, अरे जाने की जरूरत नहीं, एक मरतबा फरमा ज़ैनब खुद आ गई है तुम्हारे शहर में। यह सुनना था कि उम्मे हबीबा एक मरतबा परेशान हो गई, अरे कहाँ है मेरी शहजादी, वो कब तशरीफ लाई, मुझे तो खबर ही नहीं हुई गोया। तो अब शहजादी ने फरमाया कि अगर ज़ैनब को देखोगी तो पहचान लोगी। उम्मे हबीबा कहते अरे क्यों ना पहचानूंगी, वो तो मेरी शहजादी है। अब एक मरतबा रिवायत कहती है शहजादी ने अपना तारुफ कराया, मैं ज़ैनब हूँ। उम्मे हबीबा अज़ादारों फिर भी ना पहचान सकी, अरे हक है उम्मे हबीबा को ना पहचानने का, अरे कहाँ मेरी शहजादी को बेमखनाओ चादर देखा था, अरे कहाँ मेरी शहजादी को जंजीरों में जकड़ा देखा था। उम्मे हबीबा ने अब कहती है कि मेरी शहजादी की तो एक अलामत हुआ करती थी, अलामत ये थी कि वह कभी भी अपने भैया हुसैन से जुदा नहीं होती थी। ये सुना तो एक मरतबा शहजादी ने नोके नेजा पे बुलंद मौला के सर की तरफ इशारा किया, वो हुसैन इब्न अली का गोया सर है, ज़ैनब अभी भी अपने भैया से जुदा नहीं हुई।
अला लअनतुल्लाह।